keep God first in your walk, baby, and that's bona fide talk. Church, praise the Lord. I am your host, Evangelist Falana, a.k.a. Bonafide Talk, and you are listening to the Christian radio broadcast, Bonafide Talk, one of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country. We are delighted that you have joined us today and equally delighted about our featured guest this evening. But before we get started, let's open up tonight's radio broadcast with a prayer, okay? So let's clear all hearts and mind, please. Dear God, we come to you now. We are bowing our heads to you at the throne of grace. Dear God, we just want to say thank you for everything that you have done for us. We thank you for your blessings and even our tough love blessings that you send our way to discipline us, because we know that you chastise us only because you love us. Amen. Dear God, I ask that you give me and the featured guest the appropriate words to say so that we are able to minister to the needs of your people. I ask that you shield us from the tactics of the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy, up to and including trying to block this message coming from tonight's radio broadcast. It's all about you, dear God. Dear God, we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. Family, we're going to go into a quick commercial break. Here is a message from our sponsor, Pastor Frank Henderson of Excel Fellowship.
What's up, everybody? It's your man, Frank Henderson, the pastor of Excel Fellowship Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's an honor to meet you and to come to you right here on Bonafide Radio. Check it out. Excel Fellowship Church, we meet every Sunday at 11 a.m. at 3908 Arrow Drive, right here in the big city of Raleigh, North Carolina. Our mission is real simple. We are reaching the lost, equipping the saints, and manifesting Christ. We look forward to seeing you real soon. Okay, now let's get back to Bonafide Talk.
Welcome back, guys. You are listening to the live broadcast, Bonafide Talk, one of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country. It is now time to present our featured guest. Singing at the tender age of 3, TB2 has since matured into a strong vessel that God has placed in this world to minister to souls through song. From St. Louis, Missouri, TB2 has sung behind gospel greats such as Dorinda Clark Cole, Percy Brady, Joshua Troup, Donnie McClurkin, and has opened for Dwayne Woods and Twinkle Clark. In 2011, he released his first single, More, and in 2013, he released his debut project entitled The Soul Experience EP, which featured the award-nominated single The Definition of Love, to positive reviews. Amen. TB2 is currently in the studio working on his new project due to release in 2015, and the first release from this project is Fresh Start, written by our featured guest, TB2, and produced by the Venoms, the Phenom Bryant. Fresh Start is a song about starting over in every aspect of life. Quoting our featured guest, God just used this song to remind me that starting over is not so bad when you start over with him. Amen. His new single is available on iTunes, CD Baby, Amazon, Google Play, and all digital retail outlets now. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for our featured guest, Brother Thurman B. Thornton II. Yay, baby!
Thank you so much. Wow.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm cool. How are you?
I am good. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you. Lord, how much? Don't remind me.
You know what? I hear you. Motherhood, fatherhood is joy and pain, sunshine and rain. Amen?
Man, it's crazy, but it's, hey, we do it. We make it happen.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We're going to go ahead and get this started, Thurman. The title of our episode, as you know, is We Can Have Deliverance from Depression. You and
yeah.
I both know, for instance, ladies and gentlemen, before we even get started, you know how we do. Go ahead and get your pencil and paper and your Bible, because we talk bona fide talk, but it's biblical bona fide talk, okay?
Yeah.
Psalms 34, verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Can I get a witness, Brother Thurman?
Witness, witness, witness.
And, you know, there's so many... I don't want to say characters. Let's say disciples or persons in the Bible that indicate that the, you know, depression can strike anyone, and
yeah.
depression can sit in on a person at the drop of a dime. But God is truly a healer. Amen.
Yes, He is. Yes, He is. I think above anything else, the Bible showcases is you know, what's the acronym, basic instructions before leaving Earth, and the Bible is very much proof that if it happened in there. And on the fam, that we're no different. But also, since it happened in there, there's a remedy for what it is that happened. So depression is definitely an epidemic that I don't want to say that it's swept over, but we don't deal with it enough.
Well, you know, Brother Thurman, I'm inclined to agree with both. I'm inclined to agree that, well, I'm going to say in particularly the African-American community. You and I had gotten into this during our pre-interview, that particularly
yeah.
in the African-American community, we have a tendency to kind of shove that under the rug because either we don't want to deal with it or we don't know how to. What do you
yeah.
think?
I think with the definitely in this, excuse me, specifically in the African-American community, what happens is that we've been raised so much to be private. And whatever goes on in the house, it stays in the house. Don't you let on to what's going on inside when you step out the door. That it's built a generation, several generations of confusion as well as hurt and depressed people. And so depression has just filtered through the generations, and no one has opened up their mouth and said anything because. What is it? We as black people, we're pawning off. Well, that's a white thing, or that's an Asian thing. You know, black folks, we don't deal with stuff like that. Like, we don't deal with cutting. And me being an African-American male, I can attest to the fact that, yeah, we do, because I was one of those people that were used to cut. So it's just a matter of us, how we were raised. We've always been in survival mode and always having to try to prove something to somebody. And always saying that everybody else is nosy, but we really be nosy in other people's stuff, but never want to let nobody into our own personal type of issue. So it's a culmination of all those different things. And this is how something as lethal as depression and suicide and cutting and low self-esteem can sneak in. Because what is it? The idle mind is the devil's workshop. So if the devil
Amen.
Can get you somewhere where you're always by yourself and you're always alone, and that don't necessarily mean physically, if he can get you alone in your mind, in your spirit, to where you are quiet and you're always muzzling yourself because you don't want nobody to know, because you have a fear of what people may think, then this is
right.
when those demons can take over.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, Thurman, as I heard you speak, I'm thinking of several people in the Bible. You know, you and I both know that the Bible shows that depression can strike anyone. You know, we had poor people like Naomi, the mother-in-law
yeah.
of Ruth, and very rich people like King Solomon who suffer from depression. You know, young people like David and old people like Job were also afflicted. Now,
yeah.
during our pre-interview process, you indicated to me that you suffered from depression at one point. Do you mind sharing with us what was happening?
Don't mind at all. In 2009, my brother died. In 2010, my mother died. And in 2011, my father died. So you're dealing with three big deaths year after year after year. And God didn't give me no time to think about it. It was like, okay, this is happening. And anybody that knows me knows that I was really close with my mother above anything else. And being who I was, who I am now, in the process, I was in the beginning stages of being a solo artist. So you're dealing with all that type of foolishness that's going on. And then you're dealing with church folk, religious folk.
There we go.
The religious folk that you quote these scriptures, but you live nothing. You can give us the bylaws about what we're supposed to do, but what are you doing? You have all these different opinions about how I'm grieving, but you've never been in my shoes, so you don't know. You know, so all that's going on, and it just put me in a place to where I wanted to die. At one point, it's a blessing that I can talk about it now, but at one point when my mother was in the process of transitioning, she looked at me and said, "You trying to kill yourself." Never said it. Never said anything to her. I had tried a couple of attempts because I just thought that, how could I live, you know, without who? My mother was like my best friend, for real.
We were
bonded. So when she said that to me, never said it, never did it. A lot of different things around her, had planned it, had tied it, and was cutting, slitting wrists, taking pills. I was smoking cocaine. I was smoking weed. So I was just doing everything in overindulgences and just major portions, trying to basically get so high to where I wouldn't come down because I'd be done. You know, so it was just all those different things. And then it's the pressure of you still got to go minister to somebody. So I'm still out going to sing, drunk.
Got long sleeves on
in the summertime because my wrists and my arms were cut up because I just tried to slit my wrist the night before. You know what I'm saying? Or I'm backstage snorting a line of coke before it's time for me to go on. You know what I'm saying? So I'm doing all these different things because I was angry. I was depressed and I was angry. My depression stemmed from anger. And even though I understood, I still didn't understand. Understood the spiritual side. It was just a war between. And when you're in depression, you have to remember that you're in a war between your spirit and your flesh.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's natural and spiritual fighting. And when you go sink into deep levels of depression, it at those points is when the natural flesh side is winning. Because my spiritual side was saying, I am the Lord God that healeth thee, who healeth all our diseases. My favorite scripture, one of the scriptures that really brought me out of all of it, you know, Psalms 138:8 says he will perfect the very thing. That to say, if you go into verse 7, it says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, God will revive me. He will cover me. He will stretch forth his hands against my enemies. And in verse 8, which is my favorite part, he will perfect the very thing that concerns you. So, It was that type of scripture that I had to hold on to. So the spiritual side is holding on to that and believing God. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. It's saying all these scriptures. The natural side is saying, your brother, your mother, your daddy just died. Mm. You ain't got no for real money. You trying to do this career that you're trying to do. Your fiance that you with right now, your relationship is hanging on by a thread because you're not being attentive there. The church ain't really doing. This is what the natural side is saying. The natural side is dealing with what I am immediately feeling. My spiritual side is saying what I'm going to feel if I just hold out. So it was that type of war going on. And my close circle knew things were wrong with me. They just did not know how bad.
Well, why was that? Did you not share it with them?
No, I didn't tell anybody. My cousin, who is my barber, he knew certain things because he walked in on me at the house doing a line of coke. And he tried to read and go off and look up because he had had a conversation with my mother, and my mother told him, shout out to Elvin Pleasant, a.k.a. Esquire, raise the line, he keeps my hair right. My mother had told him to watch me. This is the conversation they had. I never knew about it until he told me, until he went off on me that day when he came in and saw me doing a line of coke. And he went completely off on me. And I just looked at him like this, well, either you stay or you go. It doesn't really matter to me. And then that's when he was like, but your mama said that before she was walking out of here, she said, you watch my son because he's not going to have a full-fledged understanding. And he's not going to have a lot of people around him that he's going to pay attention to, that he'll actually listen to. And I listened to my cousin.
Right.
Just like I listened to my brother, the one that passed. My brother was like my father. I mean, my father didn't have necessarily the greatest relationship. And it's kind of why I posted on Facebook today, is that even though we didn't start off right and we was rough throughout the whole relationship to where we wasn't speaking, I was so glad that before the Lord took him 4 years ago, I was so glad that we got it right before he walked out of here. And that's my happy moment. Now, that's not necessarily everybody else's happy story, but it's mine. But when I had to deal with folks that was telling me that my father was only saying he loved me because he knew he was getting ready to die, this was the type of stuff that I was fighting with dealing with all of this, and these are folks in the church. And it was more than enough to make me be like, you know what? I don't need this. But the greatest revelation that I can give, because it was the greatest revelation I got, was is that you cannot let a bad misrepresentation of God turn you from Him. You can't let people who are actually who carry the title of or the position of supposed to be a glory carrier or supposed to be a representative of Christ or a representative of God. You cannot let what they do negatively to you turn you from God.
Jesus.
That's the truth. You have a lot of people that are walking around here. You have a lot of people walking around here that are so scarred by the church, and they're mad at God, and God was not the author of the hurt that they got. It wasn't God's fault that the pastor cussed you out, or the evangelist didn't speak, or the prophet didn't acknowledge who you were, or they misused you. That wasn't God. That was that person. And when you get the understanding that people are going to do what people do, people lie, people cheat, people go off, people talk about other folks, people do, this is what people do. But God don't do that. So once you get a full-fledged relationship, a real one, you know, your own personal relationship, you can bypass these things. But these were the things that I had to go through. I had to go through as close, I had to get as close to death as possible. You know, cutting myself was really like the thing. You know, I actually still to this day have a cut on my face that'll never go away, and it'll probably be it hasn't gone away in the last 2 years. So it'll be it's a reminder to me. It's a cut on my arm that won't leave. It's a reminder of me of what God. And I'm glad that I have those scars to remind me not to bug out, not to trip, not to step back into who it was that I was at that point. Because who I was then, no.
That's not who you are now. And, you know, as I hear you, Brother Thurman, what you're describing to me, and it is so true about what the evangelist isn't doing, what the minister isn't doing, and those types of things. Overall, we really don't know the true definition of love. And speaking of that, guys, here is a hit by our featured guest, Thurman B. Thornton II. Let's talk about that definition of love.
My God.
Set me free, removes all doubts and calms all fears, wipes away every one of my tears. When I am hurting, your love heals the pain. The best thing about your love, it always stays the same.
And I love that song.
Welcome back to Bonafide Talk, guys. One of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country, and you're hearing it live right now with our featured guest, Brother Thurman B. Thornton II. And yes, I love that song too, Brother Thurman. It was so appropriate. Ladies and gentlemen, I see you guys on the switchboard. I love you. Thank you so much for taking time out of your Father's Day schedule to celebrate with us today how to overcome and defeat depression. I see you on the chat room, baby. If you have a question or a comment that you'd like to present into tonight's discussion, go ahead and post it up, and you will get acknowledged.
Brother Thurman, come on.
Talk to me real bona fide talk real quick, okay? Everything that you went through, I want to start here. Understand that sometimes our guys are a bit shy, and also understand, too, that oftentimes they just want to listen. So be not discouraged. When I tell you I have a switchboard full, I mean that. You know, sometimes episodes like this that are this serious, they may or may not chime in, but that's okay. We're still going to deliver the message. Amen. So what got you to the point? Well, clearly I know what got you there, the various deaths. What made you turn to, because you were already in the gospel, you knew the word. You know, you went to church, you were performing, you know, doing, you know, ministry. What made you turn to the drugs, the cutting, and that type of thing? What type of mindset were you in at that point?
I just wanted to die. I felt like if you really go into the mind of a depressant or someone who is battling with suicide and all these different things. Various different things, you know, equate up to why they feel this way. With me, I just felt voids, like, all over because my mother was gone, because my brother was gone. And even with how my father ended, I just felt like I wish we could have been that, we could have been acting like this, you know, my whole life. So it was always, it was a lot of the shoulda, coulda, woulda, missing all these different types of elements. Drugs were very easy to get. They were very close. Me and my brother, we used to smoke. So, I mean, I was more of the drinker than he was the smoker. Then as time got older, and as time went on and certain things started happening, I just started developing these different types of things. Me, myself, personally, I don't believe in the word addiction. This is me. I don't believe in the word addiction because, for me, it started with a choice, and then I just chose to continue to do this and make a pattern of drinking for, you know, drowning my sorrows in a bottle, or smoking various amounts of blunt and weed and coke. You know, these are different choices that I made. What brought me to them was just easy access. And the enemy does know how to. And you know what? Let me take that back, because I'm not even going to say the enemy, because once again, it was my choice. I chose to say, you know what, I'm just going to do the most extreme thing, because that's where I was at. Mentally, I was just extremely stressed out and depressed, and I just did not have a personal zeal to live. And here's something that you won't hear a lot of gospel artists, I guess, say, or people in the ministry say, I was upset with God.
Amen. I get
I was beyond, if I could say it like this, pissed off.
Mm-hmm,
you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm,
but the thing about God is he already knows that. Like, he knows naturally when he decides to take someone's mother or father home, that this person, the people that they're leaving behind, are going to be upset. He already knows
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So I think with me, it was just that, in a way, I was kind of punishing it. I call myself, because you can't really punish God. In my own high thinking, well, I'm not going to say. That's my way of not doing what it is that God wanted me to do. And in actuality, I would be high as a kite, and an engagement would come in, and I had to go. So it was just an overly rebellion of and rebellion from hurt, you know. Just hurt and depressed and just not getting the love that I felt I should have been receiving at the time from the church at large.
I understand.
I'm not saying that it was all of them, but, you know, I'm traveling, I'm doing all these different things, and God is, the anointing is falling, and everybody else is getting saved, and y'all ain't got no discernment to see that I'm in shambles. You can't look at me and tell I'm high. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can clean it up all I want to, but somebody in here knows that I'm high. And you're not
absolutely
saying that.
Right,
you know,
right,
so
right.
Those are the different types of adversities and things that were going on with me. Like I said, me. That's why I want. That's why I'm glad I'm on Bonafide, and I'm glad I'm with you, and I'm glad that I'm getting this out, because I want people to understand. You know, the best thing you can do, healing will never come until you admit that you hurt.
Amen.
It'll never
Amen.
Come. It'll never come. You can never get any help until you put a SOS sign up or a smoke flare or something and say, "Hey, it's me." You know what I'm saying? What's that old song they say? It's me. It's me. It's me. Oh Lord, standing in the need
standing
of prayer.
Standing in need
see,
of prayer.
We sing these songs. We sing them. We do. We sing them. We quote the scriptures and live nothing of it.
True.
And live
true.
Nothing of it. Because in the moment when you are tried with it, you then are like, whoa, wait, hold on. So, you know, with me telling on myself, I was mad at God. I was hurt. I was sad. I was disappointed. And that was the natural side. The spiritual side is still trying to gain some strength, trying to, because right then the flesh was winning. You know what I'm saying? So
right, right,
right. It was just bad. That's all. It was just bad.
Well, you said a multitude of things in the past few minutes, Brother Thurman.
Yes.
One of the things that's stringing, I'm going to cover a couple of territories. One, you mentioned tragedy.
Right.
And it's the truth. You know, when tragedy strikes, no one likes it at all. It
no.
doesn't feel good. It makes you mad. Mm-hmm. It makes you angry. It makes you wonder why. And it's challenging. I don't care how long you've been saved or what position you have in the body of Christ or what have you. It is challenging to everyone to accept that God knows what he's doing. But ultimately, it becomes a faith walk with this thing. We have to understand
yeah.
that God is still in control. The earth is
yeah.
still the Lord's, no matter what is going on.
No matter
and
what.
We
it's
just have
is.
To trust God. And he may
yeah.
or may not give us an understanding as to why he's doing on this side. But it's when we cross over to the hereafter that we realize what's going on. And there is when we go see our friends and our loved ones and be like, that's why. You know, we just have to
yeah.
trust God, you know. And,
yeah.
and sometimes you get so mad, Brother Thurman. Sometimes I just think that we just need to start all over again and renew our relationship with God sometimes. You know, speaking of fresh start, here is
Come
fresh
on,
start, guys, by our featured guest, Thurman B. Thornton II.
Yeah, man.
Out with the old, in with the new. I've been so bound, I need a breakthrough. My sins held me down, had me so confused. But right here and now, I wanna be new. I've been down for so long, didn't know what to do. I lost a lot of loved ones, but it's led me to you. I long to be free from the shame holding me. So Lord, hear my cry and my plea. I want a fresh start. 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 So create me a clean heart and renew the right spirit in me. I want a fresh start. I want a fresh start. Out with the old, in with the new.
Yeah.
I've been so proud. I need a breakthrough. Down, had me so confused, but right here and right now, I want to be new. I've been so long, didn't know what to do. I lost a lot of love, wanted to be new. I gotta be new. I want a fresh start. I want
Bonafide Talk, guys, one of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country, and you're listening to us live right now with our featured guest, National Gospel Recording Artist Thurman B. Thornton II. My brother, yeah, Thurman, we've covered a lot of territory, and there's a lot more to cover. What inspired your Save Me song, concept, tour, the whole thing?
First off, let me, the record itself, Save Me, features my boy A.D. Mills. Shout out to him. I was actually on my audition in September. We recorded in September last year. I was actually on my way to where he was living at the time, which is in Arkansas. His studio was in Arkansas, West Helena. And I was actually on my way there to kill myself.
Jesus.
I was en route. Now, this is last year. That's why I want folks to understand. The test of the suicide is real. I was on my last year, fresh started. My song, Fresh Start, the Child of Heritage, I'm touring off of this song right now, and I still was not happy. I still was still dealing with this bout of depression. And I was on my way to West Arkansas. He doesn't even know this. He knows it now, but he didn't know it then. I was going to plan my suicide, like right then. When we got to the studio, he picked me up. When we got to the studio, he played the track. He had already did his work. His verse that he ended up doing again. I had sent him the chorus about a month or so ago because that song really was my, I described Save Me as my suicide note to God. It was my last attempt at really, I was at the end of me, which is what God wants anyway. He wants us to get to the end of us. So I was literally at my wit's end to where I was like, God, if you don't come in here now, I'm done. And we got in the studio, and the records just started, the lyrics started coming, and I'm sitting there like, wow. And it started really healing me. And I want to say this. I want to say this because somebody out here really needs to hear this, pulling on me. I always remember God is always aware of what's going on because he's the author. The real reason why God took my mother, my brother, and my father is because for I am a jealous God, and thou shalt have no other gods before me. And
come on, somebody.
The truth about it is that I made those three people my gods instead of going to him. I have to say this now because somebody out here is trying to figure out why something's getting taken away from them. Whatever you spend the most time with, that's your God. Whatever you cannot go without, that's your God. Whatever you make your backup plan to, that's your God. So I always said I'd call my mama because she'd been working out for me. I'd call my brother, been working out. My daddy was the money dude, so anytime I needed to talk to him, even if we weren't together, we weren't on good terms, I could just ask him for some money. Never prayed. My prayer life was off. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
When God is saying, I need you to lean and depend on me, not depend on people. So that was why they got taken. And I just had to say that real quick for somebody out there listening, and they need to know that if you're ever trying to figure out why something gets taken away from you, it's your God. Something gets taken away, you're putting too much time into it, and God gets jealous. Watch. Just watch and pay attention. If you go through your life and figure out certain things that got taken away and it's kind of unexplainable, it's because God is saying, you're giving it more attention than me. whether it's your job, your money, your kids, all of that. You know.
Wow.
So, save me. Let me flow back into the save me thing. Save me was my suicide. Was my suicide note to God. And it was me telling God, I really need you to help me because I am literally out of here. And song came together. Like I said, we recorded in September. I kind of had forgot about the record. I did. But I kind of forgot about the record because I started moving on up there. I kind of started getting some life from it. I was listening to it for months at a time, and it wasn't even done. It was just the fact that it was coming together, and the words were healing me. And
amen.
So then about February, March, me and AD started talking again. He was like, he would pick it back up, and he did what he needed to do, and he finally sent me the finished copy like in March, April. When I heard it, I was like, oh, my God. And we had me and my team, my visual team, shout out God Faith Entertainment, Jamel Reese and Roger Evans from Hi-Fi Graphics. We had started doing visuals, just visual promo work or whatever. And I actually started, you know, writing more for this upcoming album. And the songs in the album started fitting the theme of Save Me, which was starting from the place of depression to the point of healing. And so it was starting to become this whole movement of we got to tell the truth. We got to start telling the truth and got to really start, you know, being transparent and letting folks in. Because it's and I think with me was, it was with Bobby Christina, the whole situation with her when she was found in the tub. And, you know, obvious suicide attempt. I don't care what nobody says. I don't care what nobody else has to say about it. It was an obvious suicide attempt. Because that girl misses her mother, and she's in the industry, same industry we in, where they're brutal and they're mean, and we saw what they did to her mother, and Michael Jackson, and everybody else that is a peculiar, they have peculiar anointings, they have peculiar gifts that are God-given, and people do what they need to do to try to tear it down. So when I saw that, it was like, we got to start talking, so we got to start letting this out, and the more I started sharing these types of stories and these types of events, people would be like, you know, you don't even understand how much you're helping me because about a month ago I was getting ready to take my own life. But then I heard your story or I saw a visual or I heard this song and it just ministered to me to where I was like, you know what? You know, just like in the song, it says, I need you to save me. That's it. I need you to save me. And so it has spawned off this movement of everybody saying, you know, saying, Lord, save me. I don't care what your save me is. It could be from drugs. It can be from sex. It can be from alcohol. It could be from gluttony. It could be from gambling. It can be from anything that is literally taking you away from being more attentive to your relationship with the Lord. Whatever's taking you from Him, you have to ask Him to save you. So it's basically taking us back to the basics of what salvation is all over again. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus that He died on the cross for your sins, you know, it's going back to that. It's going back to the basics of prayer.
Going back to the basics.
And having a consistent prayer life and understanding that God is not upset that we fall. He gets upset when we stay in a fallen state and stay away from Him. Yeah, so.
Amen. And truth be known, God is our hope in the midst of depression. Amen. You know, because one of the great truths of the Bible is that God is our hope when we're in trouble, you know, including depression. The message is clear. When depression hits, fix your eyes on God and His power and His love for you. Jesus, guys, ladies and gentlemen, let's listen to this masterpiece that was clearly precipitated from depression. But when you look at God, here is Save Me by Thurman B. Thornton. Bonafide Talk, guys. One of the hottest Christian radio broadcasts in the country, and you're listening to Bonafide Talk right now live, and we have our featured guest, National Regardless recording artist, Thurman B. Thornton II. Brother Thurman, we've discussed a lot about what brings us into depression. What would be your suggestions to someone out here right now that's suffering from depression? What is the first thing they would need to do to begin the process of healing?
Admit that you have a problem. You have to admit that you're hurt. You have to admit that there's an issue. Talk to someone. Pray, obviously. But even outside of that, God has blessed us with people that are actually licensed. And we're not talking about folks trying to be nosy in your business. Therapy is not out of order. Therapists are not out of order. You can go to some Christian counseling if you want to, but you need to talk to someone. You need to talk to someone that's your pastor. And if you don't feel comfortable talking to a pastor, go find a therapist. But admittance is the first step towards recovery. Coming out of that state of denial and letting it be acknowledged that I got a problem. Yeah, you do that. Once you start doing that, now that you've identified there's an issue, now we can work towards the proper steps. Read these different books, you know what I'm saying, that are out from people and get you some, I ain't gonna say get you some music, but music can be therapy. It can be therapeutic to know that somebody that you may admire is being honest and transparent and is giving you hope even after all the darkness. So if you admit there's an issue, that's the first step, and then we can go from there.
Wow. Now that's bona fide talk. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, Brother Thurman, at the risk of quote-unquote trying to dominate the interview, and I don't mean to do that because clearly you are the featured guest, and I thank you so much for taking time out of your head to schedule to be a featured guest tonight. I want to take just a moment to share my story because, see, there's somebody out here that needs to hear this, okay? You mentioned earlier that you were going through your bouts of depression even while you were doing ministry, okay?
Yeah.
And it hit home. But I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that depression can hit anyone. Let me tell you, Bonafide Talk Evangelist Falana, a true story, okay? The true story is I thought I had it all together. I had just become an ordained evangelist, and Satan found that weakness. Guess what that weakness was, Brother Thurman? It was a man. You
wow.
Mentioned putting idol gods. Prepping up idol gods. Well, unfortunately for me, I had made an idol god out of this man. I just couldn't. I felt like I could not live, breathe, walk, or talk without this man. You hear me?
Wow.
I had put, and you know, I wasn't even in it like you were, Brother Thurman. I had given up. I had chosen that woe betide hell or come high water, I was going to be with this man. And guess what God did? He didn't take him, but he did the equivalent. He took my mind. Literally,
wow.
I went into hallucination mode. I lost my mind. 3 visits to a mental institution before I could get it together. The first time, I'm remorseful, still too ashamed to talk to the therapist and the psychologist about what was going on. 2nd time, had not let go. 3rd time, hadn't let go until my roommate came into the room and she was crying. And I began to pray over her, Brother Thurman. And like you in that song, Save Me, as I began to pray over her, I began to minister to myself. And I realized, dear God, I've got to remove this tomb from this tomb that I have put myself. You know how they were Jesus was telling us to remove the tomb to get Lazarus out of there? Hello. Yeah. I had to give it up. I had to push. I had to push. I had to ask God to come save me. And I tell you what, I bet you. Glory be to God. I will never, ever again make an idol God of a person, place, or thing. And dear God,
wow.
I thank you, Jesus. Woo! Jesus. Oh, my Lord. Jesus, I'll never do it again. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I thank you.
Lord.
See, Brother Thurman, I think that somebody need to hear that because, see, even the minister can get caught up if they're not mighty careful. Don't, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care how long you've been called to preach. I don't care how long you've been in ministry. One slip of a dime and Satan will have you under. You don't know what's going on. But check this out. The good news, ladies and gentlemen, is that God is not angry about our depression. Discouragement and depression are normal parts of being human. They can be triggered, like in your situation, Brother Thurman, by the death of a loved one, illness, loss of a job or status, divorce. Mine was a knucklehead. But all these things that are pure traumatic, you know what I mean?
Right,
the Bible does not show God punishing people for their sadness. Rather, he acts as a loving father. Now, here's the thing. You mentioned something very valid, Brother Thurman. We had to get to that point that we had to realize, wait a minute now, I'm going to church every – well, I had stopped, but for in your situation – you're going to church every Sunday, you're performing, you're ministering, but there's still a void. You got to that point that you got tired. Did you find yourself either feeling like screaming or you did scream? That's where I had gotten to.
I did. I was sick of it. I was sick of it. And technically, even now, that's why church, the idea, man's idea of church doesn't move me. It doesn't move me. Their opinion of, well, we didn't have church, no. If you haven't, if the Spirit of God has not come and visited you, and has not, and your praise and your worship and all this has not chastened God to actually do what it is that you're petitioning Him for, you ain't had church. If you ain't crying, every service don't have to be a bucking and shouting service. Some service you need to be leaving crying because of what the preacher said convicted you. That's church.
Amen. Amen.
That's the real
Amen.
Church. So the situations I was facing, I was sitting there like this. Oh my God! Like I ain't getting nothing. Okay, you know, but we all been there, you know, been there, done that, and it caused me to have to develop my relationship with God more, you know. So where now I have an understanding, that I'm gonna pull on God everywhere I'm at. I'm pulling on them, whether they get it or not. I'm pulling on them because I can't be so focused on whether or not the people get it. Because that used to be a big issue with me. I would get upset because the folks wouldn't get with it, and God rebuked me and said, "Who you praising, them or me?" Oh, you're right, God. My bad. So whether y'all get it or not, I'll leave you. I don't care. I'm pulling on them for me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So these are just the different things and the lessons that we learn. You know, and then now being free of depression and being free of suicide and cutting and all these different things, I can look at myself in the mirror now and say, you know what? I like you. I actually like you. And I love
Amen.
You enough to not let nothing or nobody ever hurt you like that and get you to that place again.
Amen. Amen. Very, very profound, Brother Thurman. Very profound.
Bless you.
Very profound.
Yeah, but it's your fault. You did it.
Very, very profound statement, Brother Thurman. Ladies and gentlemen, we're towards the end of our show. I want to allow an opportunity for our callers to chime in if they'd like to. I know we've covered a lot of territory, and he and I have just gotten together and kind of dominated this radio show, but we want to let you in, okay? If there's anyone that's in the chat, we just went in, didn't we? If there's anyone that's in the chat room that would like to post a question or comment, or if you would like to dial now, the number to dial is 347-327-9688, and then press 1. Those of you that are on the switchboard right now, love you. Thank you for chiming in. Go ahead and press 1 before we close it out, okay? All right, looks like I told you, Brother Thurman, we got some listeners, and that's good. I know within my spirit that someone has been delivered this evening, that some things have come out of the closet. And we talk about gay people coming out of the closet. I'm not picking on my gay family. What I am saying is that the homosexual life is not the only thing that needs to come out of the closet. This thing about depression needs to come out of the closet. Amen?
Honey,
you know,
this closet is so big. I'm like, just get everything out. You know, expose it. Self-expose it before somebody else does.
Precisely.
You need to go ahead and you need to acknowledge what it is that's wrong with you now before God completely embarrasses you. But because the good thing about it is, like I said, like I was telling you on the pre-show before we even came on, is that I don't have to worry about if anybody want to dig anything up on me. You can't. I told it. It's public record now. It's public record. I told on myself. And the wonderful thing about it is that I ain't gonna talk about it no more. Like I'm not a prisoner of my past. I'm free of it. So now these conversations, I'm like, dude, okay, we're good. You know, where other people, you know what I'm saying, and you have to use wisdom on how you know what I'm saying, you speak about your deliverance. Once you're free, be free.
Amen. Amen. Wonderfully, eloquently put. Free. Free. Absolute freedom.
Yeah.
Well put. And there is truly, truly absolute freedom in Jesus Christ. Just try
yeah.
him. If you're depressed, ladies and gentlemen, there are so many different resources out here. In fact, I'm going to give you a direct resource. I want you to reach out to me directly. I feel pretty confident that 9 times out of 10, I will have already been where you are. So feel free to reach out to me directly. You can reach me at evangelistfalana@gmail.com, or you can reach me on my mobile at 919-428-4335, 919-428-4335. I won't say that I'm the CEO of Suicidal Tendency and Thoughts, but I've had my shares of ups and downs. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't learn anything else tonight, if you haven't learned anything else tonight, remember this.
Keep God first in your walk, baby.
Yes,
that's Bonafide Talk.
Bonafide Talk. Bonafide Talk.